Hello, everyone. Welcome to the latest edition of the OFCCP Compliance Podcast here at Local Job Network and the first of 2020. Yes, it's been a little while. I am your host, Tim Muma. We're here to deliver a deeper look at what is going on around OFCCP and really the people involved with the agency, as we'll discuss shortly. Joining me in the studio today is our regular contributor, the founder and president of HR Analytical Services, Bill Osterndorf. Bill, seeing you back-to-back days. Feels like hitting the lottery on my end.
Tim, this is a huge pleasure for me, and I got to tell our listening audience that Tim today is wearing his Milwaukee Brewers sweatshirt. I'm so proud. Today, of course, pitchers and catchers report. This is a happy day in so many ways for those of us who follow baseball just a little bit. So we're in a good mood, and we're ready to roll.
Yes, despite all the snow that we're surrounded by here in Milwaukee, it's good to think some warm thoughts until we get snow again, which will happen. As we're recording, it's supposed to happen tonight, I believe.
So. It's going to be beautiful. The snow is so pretty when it falls from the sky, and it's so great until it gets to my driveway, and then the whining and complaining starts. So, anyway.
Whining and complaining with you, Bill? Never. Yeah. Moving on. Normally, we would actually jump into some news blurbs, some of the smaller items around OFCCP, but since it has been a little while since we've recorded the last podcast, there's a lot to discuss and many items on a large scale. So let's jump right into it. First and foremost, a recent surprise announcement coming from the White House that stated President Donald Trump is going to nominate OFCCP Director Craig Lean as Inspector General of the Office of Personnel Management. Bill, what was your initial reaction to that news? And can we just assume that Lean is as good as gone whenever they can make this stuff official?
Yeah, I mean, there are many pieces to this one, and there's a couple of critical things, one of which is that until Lean is gone, he is not gone. And we have seen in this particular administration that they do not move nominations forward very fast. So this could sit for a month, for 2 months, for 3 months. It could not get done until the end of the year. It could never get done at all. So no one should spend their time getting excited about the fact that Craig Lean has left the agency. He has not left the agency, and his priorities will continue to be the priorities for the agency for the foreseeable future. I think, however, this was interesting because I think it sort of sent a message. And that message is as follows, that Eugene Scalia is finally taking hold as the Secretary of Labor. I think that one of the things that's going on here is that Craig Lean has had a huge impact on the agency. He has done some interesting, and I think what a lot of us would consider to be positive things, but he is not functioning like a typical Republican. We've talked about that on many occasions, that he really has put a lot of new things in place, a lot of new programs, a lot of new, if not regulations per se, a lot of new directives, has really refocused the agency in some ways. And it's been something of a burden on federal contractors and subcontractors. And I had expected, I think a lot of us expected a long time ago, that as part of a Republican administration, you would see, a winnowing back of what OCCP was doing and how aggressive they were. That has certainly not been the case under Director Lean. And again, we need to give him credit. He has done some things that have been positive, but he would be just as much home in a Democratic administration as a Republican administration. Well, I think what's going on then is that Secretary Scalia is spending some time looking over the agency and saying, who do I want where in terms of my people to run this organization? I think Craig, he probably looks in and says Craig Lean has done effective work, but I think it's probably also true that there is a sense that maybe we want somebody who's a little more in tune with the priorities that I have. It is true that Secretary Scalia is, from what we understand, fairly close to the current deputy director for OCCP, Bob Gaglione, which means I think that he's going to rely on Gaglione to help to figure out what should the direction of the agency be and where do we go. Craig Lean is not gone, so what he has to say will continue to be important for the agency's direction until that time that he's gone. But I think we're going to see Secretary Scalia in his imprint really showing up more in the agency now as Craig Lean starts to think about potentially being over at the Office of Personnel Management, and we see Bob Gaglione, I think, coming more to the fore. I want to say something for a minute. You know, even as we see Craig Lean potentially moving out of the agency, I do not think that some of the pillars that he's put in place are going to change. So this whole CERT idea, certainty, efficiency, recognition, transparency, I think those will continue to be hallmarks of the agency.
Sure.
I just don't think that you will necessarily see the same level of directives and additional things coming out that were potentially somewhat burdensome for contractors that you saw under a Craig Lean administration.
Well, I was sort of wondering about that. Along those same lines, let's say he, you know, sort of it does see himself leaving, you know, whether it's sooner or later or whatever. Does that motivate him a little bit more to try to push more through or try to be a little bit more aggressive with the things that he really feels strongly about as far as Lean goes? Just because, yeah, once he's out, he can't guarantee that while they might follow generally what he put in place, maybe they're not as aggressive, maybe they don't do specifically maybe some of the plans that he had. Do you see that as being a factor at all if he gets the sense that he wants to kind of leave his mark before he goes?
I think that's a really important question, and I think the simple answer is we don't know.
Yeah.
There's really two directions you could go here. There are certainly some people that would treat a pending change and where you're going to be as a time to put all the last pieces in place that you've been thinking about to build up, you know, the last of the structures you're trying to build. And to do all those things that you've been waiting on. I'm not sure, however, that's where Craig Lean is going to be.
Okay.
You know, I think that from what we know about Craig Lean, he's likely to sort of stay the course. You know, he's had some focus points that he has wanted to work on during the time he has been with the agency. I think that's where we're going to continue to see his focus. So we are going to continue to see a very heavy focus on what's going on regarding individuals with disabilities. We're going to see a real focus on this whole transparency idea. We're going to see him, I think, continue in many of the same ways that he has been. I don't think he's going to step back from his day-to-day role.
Right.
But I don't think he's going to introduce anything new. Now, Tim, as you know, in these podcasts, we've discovered on multiple occasions that, you know, you make guesses and sometimes you get them, you know, right on the head and sometimes you have no idea what you're talking about.
Right.
So, you know, it really could go a couple of different ways. And when we meet again in what, summer or fall, whenever we get together, we can see how that goes. We should actually start a scoreboard, I think, of predictions.
I like that. I like
this
that.
This could be super fun because, you know, people could people could send us notes and say, "Yo, losers, remember when you made this prediction?
Right.
You know, I don't think this one happened." Or even better, we could have people that we know send us nice notes and say, "Oh, look at how smart you guys were."
Well, again, keep in mind, people would actually have to listen to the podcast.
That is a problem, by the way.
So
I've started paying people in my office, for example, to listen to the podcast, and I'm hoping they're spreading that idea from there.
Yeah,
so
that's a veteran move, paying people off to listen to the podcast. I like that. We're going to go forward with that. Andy, if you can go ahead and campaign that for me, I appreciate it. Moving forward, and speaking of personnel changes, although, as you said, Lean is not gone yet, new personnel into OFCCP just recently. You mentioned Bob Gaglione as a deputy director, and also now there's a new one in place, just recently added. For those who don't know, because it was, I don't know, it seemed a little under the radar from my perspective. Who is this new deputy director? What do we know about her, and what's she going to be doing exactly?
You know, Patricia Davis, who recently came in as a deputy director, I will tell you that was a total under-the-radar thing. There has not been a real big deal made about her,
yeah,
her entering the agency. We don't know exactly what her portfolio will be. The structure of OACCP is interesting, and it's one of those things that I think is confusing for all of us at times in terms of who's doing what. Because OACCP has a number of people who are called deputy director. There's not just one deputy director. Mm-hmm. There's a series of people who are called deputy director. Bob Gaglione is unquestionably deputy director in the sense that he's really the number two today in the agency.
Okay.
And frankly, what we expect is if and when Craig Lean goes over to the Office of Personnel Management, that Bob is likely then to lead the agency for at least the remainder of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And then if President Trump gets reelected, then we'll see what happens. But he could easily be the director of OACCP for some time.
Yeah, that makes sense.
If there's another 4 years of the Trump administration. Patricia Davidson, on the other hand, it is not clear exactly which specific things that she will be working on. But like Gaglione, she is a true deputy director in that she has a wide portfolio. She is not focused into one specific area. She will help to provide instruction throughout the agency in terms of all the things that the agency is doing. There are a number of other deputy directors who are part of the agency. For example, there are some people like Harvey Fort, who is referred to as deputy director, but he's deputy director for the policy division, which means he has a specific number of things that he is working on behalf of the agency, and he doesn't have the broad-based portfolio that Gaglione or that Davidson do. Davidson has been in the Department of Labor for a while and brings sort of an interesting background to this. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of things that she's working on and what specific projects that she's tasked with. I think that, you know, with her experience, she may bring some interesting insights. And I'm looking forward to seeing her, for example, when we get out to the ILG National Conference this year in Washington. But we will also, you know, be watching to see, you know, if there's specific things that she's tasked with in the next number of months here as she gets acclimated to the agency.
Now, what was the timing with this? Was this something that they were always looking to fill, or it just seemed a little coincidental with, as you mentioned, the lean potential nomination? Maybe that means Gaglione moves up. Did that play any role into this, do you think, or was this already kind of in motion?
It's a little hard to say. You know, that's a logical assumption. I think the other piece of it, though, is that there are currently a lot of acting people in the agency.
Point.
There's
a
lot of acting deputy directors. In that sense, OCCP is not a lot different than than the entire federal government at the moment, where there are a lot of people who have a title of acting this and acting that.
And
they're not very good actors. I never see them on stage or anything.
Oh,
and,
that's
and,
where we need and, the rim shot.
Yeah,
gotta
yeah,
work
sorry,
on that.
Sorry,
sorry.
But there's a really large number of people who are serving, in a sense, in dual roles. And you know, so someone like Melissa Sphere, who is the regional director for the Southwest and Rocky Mountain region, also known as SWARM. I love that acronym.
It actually is. That's one of the best acronyms of OCCP, and they love
acronyms. Absolutely. It's not as good as ERPRVR, but it is one of my favorites. So anyway, Melissa Fury has a dual role she's been playing as the acting deputy director for regional operations. That's a lot of burden to place on one person to have, you know, two roles that are really critical to what's going on for the agency. So I think, you know, this was a good move in a sense, just to make sure you have enough people at the top to help support the various initiatives that the agency wants to get into. But, you know, we'll see what that means for the future. Like I said, you know, if Gaglione is the person who ends up being director, if Craig Lean goes over to OPM, you know, Patricia Davidson could certainly play a much more active role at that point.
And obviously, like you said, this is all making a lot of assumptions, and the timeline on this, there's nothing to it as far as any actual movement when it comes to Lean or Gaglione. But getting somebody in that OCCP trust, I'm sure, is a big point of contention for them. Switching gears a little bit, I guess, away from the personnel side of OFCCP and more looking at federal contractors, what they need to know, information they're looking for. As we were talking about before we started here, the contractor compliance manual did go through some updates with some revisions to help align with OFCCP's goals and kind of their initiatives there. What do you feel that contractors can glean from the changes? Do they make sense? Is this something that's easily accessible to them? What's kind of your overall take of the updates that have been made?
So, I mean, let's start with something really basic. The Federal Contract Compliance Manual, I think, is an important tool. It's an important tool in part because it provides guidance to compliance officers. So it's not really written in that sense for federal contractors and subcontractors per se. It's really written for the internal people to tell them, here's stuff you got to do. But because the manual has been made available to the public for many years, one of the things that contractors, subcontractors have been able to do is look at the manual and say, oh, this is the kind of stuff that we should expect during a review because this is what the agency is telling its compliance officers
exactly
they should be involved in. And the compliance manual, the Federal Contractor Compliance Manual, or the FCCM, another acronym we can go by, has been one of those things that frequently has stayed in place for far too many years.
Mm-hmm.
There is a number of very critical updates to regulations over the past 20 years where it took the folks at OCCP lots and lots of years to get that stuff into the FCCM. A classic example of that is that there were not a lot of contemporaneous updates to the FCCM when all those changes came into place for the vet and disability regulations.
Right.
This is a major update. So for people who follow along with the FCCM and who read this routinely, and so those of you who are involved in those kind of things, I think you need to get out more. So that's just a starting point. But the fact of the matter is that there are some new and important things here. I'm going to direct everybody who's listening to the podcast to simply the very first page of the updated FCCM and say, look at what's been updated, because I think that's a good place to just to get a sense of where the agency is and mm-hmm. where they're going, because it will tell you, here are the things that we did update and here are some of the things that are new and different. And it really just sort of suggests, you know, these are agency priorities. Because if that's the things that they made sure to update, they made sure to change, they made sure to bring into bring into compliance, excuse the pun, with what they're actually doing in the agency, those are probably focus areas for you. And you know, so the FCCM, for example, now has information on focused reviews. It has information on outreach and positive recruitment, which is something that's really critical in the focused reviews. It has information on other parts of the vets and disability regulations. So those are things that we know are important to the agency. I mean, they've told us that, but
right.
it's pretty key. There are some updates to the construction piece of the FCCM. And so for construction contractors, and there's, I'm sure, hundreds of those of you in construction companies are listening to this podcast. but you probably want to read some of those new things that are in the construction component of the FCCM. Construction contractors especially, I know that there's not a lot of construction contractors generally, and probably not a lot listening to this podcast, but it's sort of helpful, and it's helpful actually for non-construction companies to read some of this, because the construction regulations are very, 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 very old. They have not updated the regulations per se for a long time. But they are finally updating the FCCM to bring it into sort of a modern age. And I think that sends a message that says, you know, at some point we know we need to update these regulations, but we also need to bring these things into what's going on today, as opposed to telling you things that have nothing to do with what's going on in modern society. So, you know, I would certainly look at that first page and see what's there. I think there's some specific things that different organizations are going to be interested in,
mm-hmm.
And you want to take a look at some of that. I will tell you that the major downside of this version of the FCCM as of today, and of course I assume they'll change this tomorrow.
Yeah, so immediately after this podcast.
Yeah, that's how these things always go. One of the things that's a downside as far as I'm concerned is that there is currently no PDF version. So this is not one of those things that you can download the whole FCCM, from what I know, and print it all off, and that then you can take it home and
don't go there.
Well, I don't want to talk about the same things we've talked about previously, but it is the same kind of idea. So, you know, again, it's Valentine's Day is coming up, so
good point.
So you definitely want to have, you know, reading material for your beloved. You know, I would suspect at some point that there will, in fact, be some kind of PDF version of this that makes it easier for you to take, and that you don't have to necessarily have a computer sitting in front of you where you can read it. but you know, the bottom line is that traditionally this thing has actually come out in a document form.
Mm-hmm.
At the moment, from what we know, the bottom line really is that if you want to get this in paper somehow, you're going to have to buy into a subscription service from one of those places that, you know, will charge you an arm and a leg to do that. So lots of choices to make in terms of the FCCM. If you really want a paper version, you're going to be spending an awful lot of time going in and printing off pages and some of that. I would certainly suggest that you start with the things that are really important to you and that OCCP thinks are important, and then see if you need a whole copy of the Federal Contract Compliance Manual some other time, and maybe wait for a few weeks or a month or something and see if they do get a PDF version up online.
I think good advice, especially as you said, checking out specifically the updates that they kind of lay forth, just because that's the newest and most modern information they could give you, and you know, whatever is unchanged, hopefully you already know about that. But to your point, maybe once it's more easily accessible and available to read, then you can go through the rest of it. And with that, we're actually going to wrap up part one of the OFCCP Compliance Podcast, the first of 2020. As you can tell, we have a lot of information to cover, and we're only getting started here with Bill Ostendorf, founder and president of HR Analytical Services. So for everyone here at Local Job Network, I'm Tim Muma. We'll talk to you next time.